This is message, M095, the government shall be upon his shoulders. A word given by Cecil J. DeCille, in the early 1970s.
As I sat down there, generally without a message, hoping that Brother Bill would just go on. And it's such a pleasure to sit down and see the Lord anoint other brothers and sisters, and you just receive the blessing of the anointing. And as I sat down there hoping that he would go on, I heard a voice say to me, "The government shall be on his shoulders. The government shall be on his shoulder." And I quickly checked it up there, and I found it in Isaiah chapter 9. Yeah. His name, shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, throughout eternity.
God, if we want to get the full gist of what Isaiah chapter 9 is saying, we'll have to read a little way from up in Isaiah 8. We can read from verse 21, just two verses there, and then we go on. "And they shall pass through it hardly, bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God, and look upward, and they shall look upon the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." I want you to notice the words that are used. Not natural darkness, because the people will be driven to darkness. So that the darkness which lieth within the realms of hell will begin to invade the earth. All the night of misunderstanding and lies are going to begin to invade the earth as we see it now. And this invasion will be something that people don't want to go into. But when they become hungry and spiritually hungry and find themselves without an answer to the Bible, without an answer to God, without an answer to their own existence, without an answer to their own depravity, without an answer to their own base conditions, they will be driven to darkness, to accept the darkness. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them at the light shined. Many a historian and many a Bible student say to themselves, oh, the Bible is history. They say this is only history of the Jewish people. They say, why should we bother around history that is gone and past? Let's look forward to something that is to come. Little do they know that these same spirits which created darkness in times past never cease to strive to create darkness, for darkness is their nature. Amen. Even as the Spirit of God is striving to bring forth the fullness of His glory in mankind, how long? 6,000 years of warfare. 6,000 years, not 600 years, 6,000 years God's Spirit has been fighting with this man thing, amen, to bring it forth in a glory that would please God. And for 6,000 years God had been methodically carrying forth His plan. The first time man went forth, man took on so great little wickedness that of a whole world of life for 2,000 years, check how many people would be in the world. Men were freely having children for 2,000 years. And at that time, the man's fecundity was much greater than it was now. Men would have 50, 60 children. Amen. Women would easily have 20, 25 children. And they were building a nation, and God looked down and saw only 8 people righteous left. And God knew they 8 couldn't stand. They could not stand up. God saw that humanity, upon the insistence of the devil, was about to wipe out righteousness out of the human conscience. Amen. Thus, he would have taken the mark of the beast maybe 2,000 years ago. God wiped them out. You have a batch of chickens that take disease and you just kill them to save 8 that did not have any symptoms of the disease. Praise be to God, it was His plan. It was His plan, because even now in the plan of God, the outer court, which is an emblem of the third realm, the first realm, the outer court is going to be wiped out. Why? No good. It was good enough just to breed 8 people. It was good enough to bring forth 8 people who could carry forth righteousness. The outer court was good enough to bring forth you and I. And every other man and woman who will so love God to flee out of the realm of the flesh and to come out of the realm of death and to seek the realm of life. And God saw it fit to wipe them out. Why? This thing, this animal, this creature cannot inherit eternal life. Neither can corruption inherit incorruption. And if you in your soulish realm be resurrected from corruption to incorruption, that which you love in the corrupted realm, you shall make it incorrupt. Yes. Hallelujah. And the body, the house, the vehicle, this computer, this magnificent thing that God created, man will speak the word, be thou made whole. Hallelujah. And this body will be made whole. Oh, Jesus. God has not left us without a witness. For even in this hour, we do speak the word of life to our own bodies. And we are resurrected. Many of us are sick And God, through his people, speak the word of life. And we are resurrected. This is the resurrection power. This is just a taste of the life which lies within another realm, which if we can only reach up, hallelujah, and lay a hold on it, we could draw it down even into our realm, pull it to our bosoms, and be quickened by something from out another world. Jesus. They that were in darkness saw a great light. And they that sat in the shadow of death, to them light had come. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Jesus, help us. Oh God, I said I would marry. Why? Because I could never stand to marry and see my wife die. I couldn't survive. I had a little puppy dog, and he died. And man, for years I couldn't get away from it. The dog was so human. Amen. And I didn't want to own anything that was living, because I couldn't stand to see it die. Those who sat in the shadow of death, behold, light is come.
Amen.
Abolished. Oh good God, what a sweet God. Oh, what a glorious God. Not only, pardon me, abolished death, but has lifted us to the highest realm of life and light. God never said to any of his angels, sit thou at my right hand, and I will make thine enemies thy footstool. But he said so to you, and you doubt it. He said so to man. And God Almighty made the three heavens, and the angels in the second realm of heaven thought they were in line to be exalted and to be promoted into the heavens of heavens, where God is. For they knew it was God's will to share his throne with his beings. And I could see them guessing and say, well, we are going to be the beings that God is going to just draw one step up into the glorious heaven of heavens. And we shall rule and reign over man and over all God's creation. That's what they thought. So Lucifer, who was the leader of the heavenly host, the great overshadowing spirit of light. Light, you know, he wasn't darkness. He was light. And God Almighty says that that light means fire. I don't know if you understand what God means by power. It's difficult for us to understand it. And I'll tell you what I mean. The little sun we have out there is just a toy in God's great universe of suns. That sun that is supplying all the energy for this earth. It's 90 million miles away, and it's pushing so much energy here that if you get out of the protective shield of the dust and the dirt and the muck that lies around our realm, and you get out there, the radiation from the sun will punch a hole through your steel craft. If you have a 1-inch steel craft there, the ultraviolet rays would bore through it and kill you and destroy you. They had to find special material to make the spacecraft with so that the radiation from the sun don't kill them. Amen. And that is a little sun and a little earth in a little galaxy. You know what I mean by galaxy? When you get up in the night and you look and you see the Milky Way, it looks like dust or like cloud stretching right across the sky. And it means that we are just a little planet in billions and billions and billions of planets that we couldn't count. And outside of our little cluster, which they call the Milky Way, there are so many bigger clusters and so magnificent that man was shocked when he saw that it were, as it were, an unlimited space out there in space, and the great God says all these little things can't hold him. He said the heaven of heavens can't hold God. God is bursting out from his seams and stretching out over all the realms and over everywhere, and he's everywhere. You pick up a little pebble and God is there. Amen. So God is trying to show us the magnitude of his power. So these angels thought they were second in line. Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer, all those mighty angels thought they were second in line to go up into God's great heaven of heavens, where the magnificent light of his glory shone. And he had to insulate himself with clouds to stop the power and the glory from streaming down to his own creatures, for we could not stand the radiance of Almighty God. Then he said, "Man, come up and share my throne with me." Praise be to God. In Ephesians we find that God said he exalted man above the heaven of heavens and above every principality and above every power. And so you people were in the mind of God. You don't mind what suffering you are undergoing. Let me tell you something. What you are undergoing at home is only tempting you to put on your cloak of power. Amen. You women especially who are suffering from unsaved men whom you married, we might as well complain. Amen. You women who are suffering from unsaved men whom you married, in the first place you were wrong, so that needs some repentance. Okay, maybe you did it when you didn't know better. Well, praise be to God. Now you are in God, and God is in you, and the God that is in you must overcome the devil that is in the man. Yeah. Not overcoming by physical force, or by back talk, or by firing every gun that he fires, you fire back one. But by giving him the nature of God, which is love, blazing forth from you, no man can stand up. Amen. Glory. I saw a man broken down one day. I must have told you this already. I left my wife and this other sister to go to come to service, and I was gone on, and they were about getting ready to come, and this great big husky man, 6'3", marching and said, "You are here disturbing my house. I'm not allowing you to go to any service." And he got blind mad and rushed into his room. And so he thought they were disobeying him. So he waited in the room until he thought probably they were just gone now, and he was going to storm after them and probably tear the church apart. But when he rushed into the hall, there were the two women praying. They didn't move from where he had put them. Amen. And he was so shocked that he said, "I thought you were gone." And the wife got up, put her arms around him and said, "I love you anyhow." And the big old man started to cry. He just broken down. He had no words. He was frustrated in his anger and embarrassed by the love of God which was coming from the woman. And he couldn't help himself. And he took them after he was finished, put them in the car, took them to service and went with them himself. Amen. Well, it means that God can handle that man. But there are some men who are diabolical, who are basically demonic, devilish. They won't be handled that way. So when you throw the love on them, in the name of Jesus Christ and by his blood, they will have to run. Yes. Some men just have to run and leave you. And Paul put it in a very sweet way. He says, if the unsaved will depart, let him depart. Don't run after him. Because you will be running after trouble. He said, if the unsaved depart, let him depart. He said, a brother or a sister is not bound in such case. But then afterwards, he said, but remember, we are called unto peace. Don't go home like a war boat. That's what he was saying. Don't go home like a war boat and start firing shots all over the place. And if you know that he doesn't like you to sing aloud and do you do it the more and wreck everything. But God has called us to peace. And this is it, that we should receive this power even now. And sometime when you look back, you are going to be sorry that you didn't handle the battle a little different. For the battle is the thing that you have been praying for. Yes. When you pray, oh God, give me a power. God come and say, for what? To sit down on? Just so that you might be just sweet and rejoicing and say, I got it. He's got to give you a fight so that you might use the power which he has given you. Amen. So the power of God is given to you to use. And the more God gives you, the more God will require you to use it. And so when God requires you to use it and you didn't know you have it, assume that you have it, or else he wouldn't require you to use what you didn't have. This is it. Not only the women, but the men. Many circumstances in our jobs, in our daily lives, we are, you know, how I see us, like in the mornings, God just stretch out his hand over the whole city. And his little fingers, and the many little fingers, gone into little different corners. Amen. Some on the streets, some in the offices, some in the schoolroom, some everywhere. God's little fingers just stretch out all over the, and he whittles them around. Amen. And all the enemy begin to chop at these little fingers, and God just putting life into them, that you might glorify your Father which is in heaven in your daily operation. And then in the evenings he draws them in back. Say, come in and rest a while and have a little fellowship and have a little blessing. And a weekend he draws them in and say, well, you come to the body and get some strength and hear a few words of comfort and enjoyment and go back to battle Monday morning. Amen. Blessed be to God Almighty. Amen. Thou hast multiplied the nation, verse 3, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Blessed be to God. You remember the case of Midian. The Midianites used to come into the land of Israel, and they would distress the land of Israel. And they come in and they just take what they want. And they ill-treat the Israelites. And they punish them night and day. As you plant your field, the Midianite watches the field until the crop is ready. He comes in and takes it. And so one little boy, grieved at his heart, looked at the Midianites and see all that he did. And his life was a life of prayer. Oh God, one day that I might get at them and deliver Israel from them. And so God called this young man one day and said, today is the day. He said, you know what you do? your father and your mother is an idol worshiper. And these are the things which are causing the Midianites to take your land. He said, go chop down the grove. Chop down the grove. You know, the other day I was praying and I saw one of those pretty churches come up before me. Beautiful, high, tall steeple. You know, like how these Baptists and Catholics and all these rich religions make their churches. Beautiful church come up before me with all the greenery around it. And God said, the groves of Baal. The groves of Baal. And so this boy was told to go chop down the grove. And he chopped down the grove and he got some cows, the oxen that he used to have drawing his plow, and he pulled down the grove and tore it up. When they come, they said, who did this? And somebody said, it's Gideon. It's Gideon. And they call him Zerubbabel or something like that, Zerubbabel, because he destroyed Baal. And they said, let's get him. But it was too late. He already had the power to destroy them when God gave him the power to destroy the grove. But he didn't know. Amen. And so God took him by a way until one day he rose up in power and did what God wanted him to do. Beloved, let's go on reading the scripture. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. You understand? Every battle has been with great blood and noise and sword and guns and bayonets and everything that men use in battle. But God says this is a different battle, is a fire battle. That is, you are going to emanate fire from your being through Jesus Christ to change the consistency of even the enemy. God is not talking about natural fire. God is talking about a fire of his glory that will come forth from the people of God and even change the minds of their enemies. Amen. So he comes on and he said, for, you notice that? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. What? You're going to call him God? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's check what the scriptures say before we go any further. He said, you know, in Jamaica, they carry load on their heads, not on their shoulders. You'll see a woman coming down the street with a basket this side, loaded to almost the height of there, with fruit and vegetables, and she'll just be walking gently, coming lightly. And you speak to her and she stops. And she talked to you for 15 minutes and forget the basket on her head. And she can't take it down. She has got to get two people to help her to lift it, to put it on her head. But while it is on her head, she just walks gently. I don't know how they do it. Boy will take a 5 or 6 gallon tin filled with water and put it on his head, and he'll come down great mountain paths walking down on his hand and knees, and the water is on his head and never spill. I say that to say this, is that it would be a little different if he had said, and the government will be on his head. We would know that Jesus Christ himself is coming back down here to govern. But the Bible said his shoulder, and his shoulder is his body. If you doubt me, turn your Bible around to Daniel. Daniel chapter, let's take 2 first. And we look at the Daniel chapter 2. And we look at the 44th verse. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Well, let's go on, see if we get a little more from 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation sure. Well, let's get a little nearer home to what I'm talking about. Turn around to Daniel 7. Daniel 7. And we read up from verse 17. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, forever, even forever and ever. You notice they repeat forever 3 times. Amen? And that in the old language, Hebrew language, in which they wrote this book, it meant the fullness of forever. He said forever, even forever and ever, 3 times. This means that the saints of the Most High God are going to take the kingdom. So, checking back this word with the word shoulder here, we find that the government resting upon the shoulder of this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace, this Counselor, this wonderful, amen, is the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall rest upon his shoulder. Amen. Now to check it out a little further, because I believe in checking out things, you know. Do you know that if God tell me something, I go and check it out? Did you know that? Some people say, God tell me, man, and I am just going on. God said to God. But brother, in my little experience with God, I happen to know that God expects me to check it out. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Once the devil told me something, and he came in the name of the Lord. And God came and said, Satan, I rebuke you. And you would believe that's good enough for me to know that the last one was God. But I went and checked it out, and I found it to be a lie, everything that was said. You know, a spirit comes and tells me about Maxine. He tells me about Maxine and he says to me, you go act upon it right away. I'm not doing it.
Amen.
I'm not doing it. I'm going to check it first.
Amen.
And then when I check it, I'm going to ask her about it.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And if you have that mind, the devil knows you. He can't. But the devil gets away with a lot of things from with you. Get away with a lot of things. He said, boy, so-and-so, do it quickly. Quick, 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 quick. If you don't do it now, so-and-so is going to happen. You ever get on to a salesman, and he starts to sell you something, and he said, boy, if you don't buy it now, it will go on by the time you leave. He said, we make the bargain now, and if you step through that door, the bargain is finished. Amen. Hallelujah. And so one night, you know, I was looking for a car and I met a salesman, and the salesman said, okay, you close the business now. I said, no, man, I've got to go check up. I said, I've got to check every car marked and check them with what you tell me. Then when I find out what you tell me is true, I come back and buy. He said, okay. No, we won't worry going any further with the business. We won't even go to the manager to ask him what's his best price. I said, but why? Are you not a salesman? Don't you want to? He said, no. We are taught that any time a man don't do the business right now, he's not going to do it again. He was right. But I was right too. Amen. Praise God. So this is the way the devil works. And when you learn salesmanship, when you learn decoration, and when you learn all the arts that you are taught in the world, it's worldly arts and it is from the devil. The psychology is basically from the devil. One psychologist says, if you see a man and you want a dollar to borrow from him, don't go up to him and say, Kobe, you think you have a dollar to lend me? You don't say that to him. You say, quick, give me a dollar. Quick. Give you a dollar. When you reach out there with his dollar, and he thinks, wait, I wonder why I should have asked him. No, you got him. And so this is the way the devil works. He said, do it quick, boy. He said, do it right now, quick. Anytime you are being quickie by anything, just make your spirit know that is not God, because God knew that he would be telling you to do that long before he told you. So he don't have to tell you to jump quick and run. He's going to tell you, you pray about it, think about it, confirm it, know what. It's like some people getting married. It is bash brim. Man, I better get married quick or else I'm not going to bother with it. You shouldn't bother with that anyhow. Praise God. So here we are checking this thing out again. We go to chapter 7 and we just finished reading 18. Now check with 22nd. We can take 21 and 22. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. Daniel chapter 7, 21. Pardon me. The horn, or the rulership, or the power. Amen. This little horn that spoke blasphemies against God is the church. It is a church beast. It is people who wanted to hold the name of God, but they didn't want God. They want to have their own way, and finally to get their own way, they join up with the world and with the great beast. And he said, this little horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. they prevail against them. Don't stop there. It's a semicolon. Amen. It's not a full stop. Until. Prevail against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And I want you just to stop there a little. The war has been going on against the saints by certain organizations and certain church systems for the past 2,000 years. Since Jesus Christ left here, it has been a continuous war against everybody who says they are righteous. And you want to prove this, you go into any organized one of these big churches today and begin to preach truth and see if they don't get you out. They might not kill you because the law is against killing. But the time will come when they will give them a right to kill you, for you will be a disease, according to them, that is destroying the welfare of the country. Right now in certain quarters they are looking upon us as a disease. And right now they are planning in certain quarters to wipe out all Christians. And right now they are planning, first of all, to have an ideological war against us. They are planning to say we are the perpetrators of all the mental illnesses in this country. They are trying to say that we are the people who are causing all the trouble. And they're trying to say they would have prosperity if we were not in the way. But the nearer you get to God, it's the further you draw from the system.
Yes, amen.
Women, the nearer you get to God, is the further you draw from your unsaved husband who doesn't want God. He's going to come to the parting of the ways. Forgive me, brethren, I see it so clearly, and I've got to tell you. We are in a dead serious time when we have come to a point where all families are going to come to the parting of the ways. They're either going to stay together or separate into their different realms. Amen. But make sure you are not the person that caused it. For we are called unto peace. But men have a choice. Just as in heaven, the whole family of God. You can imagine how those angels loved each other. How they felt for each other. And yet the family of God was parted. And one third of them fell away. And became diabolical. Alien. God took away that which was of himself from them. And they were alien life forms. A life form that was contrary and different from my life form and yours and from God's and his angels. Hallelujah. And this is what is happening in our day. Men are being transformed into demons. And this is the devil taking the holy place. In our time, men are being transformed into Christ. Oh, glory! Not Christians anymore, but Christ. Men are being transformed. Humanity is being transformed into Christ. And while humanity is being transformed into Christ, the other humanity is being transformed into demons. There will be a clash. There must be a clash in our realm. No longer an ideological clash, but an actual frontal war, wherein the power that lies within you must strive against and overcome the power that lies within the world. Hallelujah! The first war ground is your soul. Right now within you the battle rages. When you win that war, you are going to influence somebody else's battle. Amen. Glory to God. The more you win, the more your brother wins. The more you suffer to win, the more you break through, it's a breakthrough for many others.
Amen.
For you are going to give them the same power, the same deliverance you had. And they too will break through, said God Almighty. Amen. Until the Ancient of Days came. That means to say they are going to destroy Christians right up to the time when the Christ appears within you. They are going to destroy Christians up to the time that God anoints an army with himself. And the Christ comes forth within us and we stand up in the earth and say, stop it. No more destruction. This is what the Bible says here. And watch the next phrase. It was given to the saints. Judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And we see another semicolon. And the time came. You know, I always thought that immediately the saints come forth in the 144,000 company, Jesus was coming same time with the saints. And now he's going to let us clean up this earth. He's going to let us finish the job. And when he comes, new heaven and new earth. Jesus will not come here. Look at this here. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. One scripture said that we'll have 7 years cleaning up the land of Israel. 7 years counting the dead and cleaning up the land of Israel. Well, praise God, I don't know if it's 7 literal years, but I do know sometime, right, this verse here shows that some time is going to elapse between the time when the sons of God come forth and knock down the government of the world. Hallelujah. I want you to see with me this point. God started out with a theocratic government. God was governing his people. Then came in Nimrod, the great Antichrist, and he set up a government that was what we call totalitarian government. Praise God. And as this totalitarian government was set up, it was in diametrical opposition and contradiction to a theocratic government. For theo means God. And the totalitarian government means that one man was putting himself in the place where God ought to have been. So he became the first Antichrist. And all the governments began to be patterned after him. Thus we came down to Nebuchadnezzar, which is Babylonish empire, coming right down to Rome with a Roman empire, coming right down to the Holy Roman Empire. Of which many of us were a part. And then they were governing the world. And so they shifted from theocratic. They tried autocratic, which is self-government. They tried totalitarian. Some parts of the world in totalitarian still, like Nimrod. And some parts of the world are in democratic. I'm talking to some good Democrats now. Many of you would give your right arm to see this democratic system continue. But this is not the will of God for man. And it must go. Amen. Needless to say, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Needless to say that the great totalitarian state is going to take over again and begin to rule the world again before the final end, when God will put down the Antichrist and put up the Christ. Amen. And this is the reason you have problems in your church system. Because your church system has been a kind of autocratic, democratic, totalitarian government. The pastor will rule the church, but he rules it by pretending that he's a Democrat and getting members who are on his side to sit in the council and to rule the church autocratically, democratically, theocratically. With a theocratic lie, the Lord says, brethren, the Lord says, there's no greater lie than saying the Lord say when the Lord didn't say anything.
Amen.
But this is the way that we have seen our church system coming off from Babylon. When we talk about Babylon, brethren, we are talking about that old rebellious system rebelling against God. Every rebellionist is a Babylonian. I don't care what you're rebelling against. You could be rebelling against the devil himself. You're a Babylonian. You're a rebellionist. You have no right to rebel against your boss. If the devil is your boss, you don't have any right to rebel against him. Amen. You just change bosses. If you want to serve God, change bosses. Don't be a rebel and stay in the man's house and trying to cut down his house. Come out from amongst them, said God Almighty. Amen. Roman Catholics received the Holy Ghost and gone back to the Roman Catholic Church, gone to pray to Mary. You're rebelling against the Catholic Church. You shouldn't be a rebellionist. You should be serving God. You should just live and go to a new master, so that instead of being a rebellionist, you would be a submissive, humble Christian under God. But there is a peculiar thing here. It's almost a paradox. The people don't want to serve the devil, and they don't want to serve God. They are autocrats, want to serve self, self-service. Amen. So the self-service business finally got into the holy place. Amen. So we find that God is as much against a government that doesn't want God as king as against a church that doesn't want God as king, as against a man or a woman that doesn't want God as king. God is king.
Amen.
This is he said, he shall be called Mighty God. Hallelujah. He said, he shall be called Counselor. And he said, the government shall be on his body. Amen. Then do you know that word shoulder means strength? Yes. Strength. God's strength, isn't that pretty to just think of? Amen. That you are God's strength. And we feel so wretched. Praise be to God. But God said, and it must be so, the government shall be on his shoulder, resting firmly on his body. And his saints shall take the kingdom. Let's read and finish this thing here in Daniel. And it's the explanation of the whole thing. Thus he said, the fourth beast, we are reading the 23rd verse. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of the kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be different from the first, and he shall subdue three kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until when? A time and times and the dividing of time. When I asked God, what's the meaning of this? He turned me over to Daniel 7. And in Daniel 7, I saw that God put Nebuchadnezzar out in the field and seven times passed over him. And afterwards, he went down to explain that seven times were 7 years. So that 7 years passed over Daniel, and this means time, one, times two, and a half of a time, that's 3.5 years. Which 3.5 years? It could be any 3.5 years, you think so? Let's read it again. And from the colon, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. It is a special time and times and the dividing of time. And you know what he's saying? Until the last 3.5 years. That's what he's saying. We, the saints, will be given into his hands until the last 3.5 years. You know why? Because God is going to use the beast to purify the church. Yeah. Church people are living too careless. Yeah. And all those who say they belong to church and they belong to God, you wait until the persecution starts and you will see who they belong to. Yeah. No man is going to lose his skin for something he doesn't believe in.
Amen.
Amen. Satan, that is Satan's doctrine, you know. He said to God, skin for skin. Skin for skin. The guy will give up when I hit him. He said, let me go upon his flesh, man. And he will give up. And God had to give him the flesh of Job just to prove to him that a man was better than what he thought. Satan learned a lesson, but he's as dunce as ever he could be. And you know why he's such a dunce? Many of us give in to the devil. Satan has toppled many a mighty man. Many a man has preached many a great message against the devil. Many a man has been used of God. Many a man has had the Spirit of God whispering to him like he whispers to me, and greater too. And toppled over afterwards. Mm-hmm. Amen. So this is what he's saying here. That at the certain time, if you notice that the 22nd verse says, until the Ancient of Days came. And this verse says, 25th verse says, until a time and time. So they must be synonymous phrases. The time and times is the same time that the Ancient of Days is coming. So the time and times is the coming of Jesus Christ within your soul. Yeah. Why? I always ask in God these whys. And why, God? And why is why, why? That's the way I always ask in him. And praise be to God, over many years of asking God these whys, I get an answer for almost all the whys. But you know why? Because God could not give you what you did not possess. He had power put down and said, the whole of heaven is open to you, use it. And men couldn't find how to grasp the power and to use it. But right down the ages, a few men found it. Like the man Moses. Moses went into Egypt land. Egypt was like you go into Russia and tell the Russians, let go all the Jews here or else I just blast you. And they just laugh at you and say, we've got all the atom bombs, we are the greatest power in the world, and we have everything we want, so how could you? But the most magnificent lesson that we learned there is that Pharaoh was so afraid of Moses, and Moses was so covered with the power of Almighty God that Pharaoh would not touch him. Pharaoh would not even send one of his policemen to arrest Moses. Pharaoh wouldn't even send somebody to assassinate Moses. Pharaoh must have had the counterpart of the CIA and the Green Berets. He could have sent some of his elite boys, get him, they said. But Pharaoh knew he would be a dead man if he had lifted his hand after Moses. Moses wasn't a joker, you know. My God, he didn't joke. We see Korah, Dathan, and Abiram come challenge Moses. And he said, well, Korah, old boy, he said, if you die a natural death. He said, well, God is not really my God. And the earth just opened up and took him in and closed the path. After that, 250 priests took their censers and said, we're worshiping God. We are sons of God. We are the priests of God. And he said, Moses, you are a murderer. He said, you kill a man in Egypt and you run away and they never catch you for that murder. And he said, you are still a murderer. It was bad, you know, bad curse word that cursed him. That this shadow of being a murderer was over him. And blessed be to God, God wouldn't wait on Moses to say anything. God just jumped into their sense of pan, of fire, and stirred the fire right in their face. Like lightning, it struck 250 men dead one time. How would you like to see that? Oh, Jesus. And so Moses wasn't playing. And this is what God said he will do in these days. You go back to your Bible and read Revelation 11, and you see the same spirit of Moses in the two witness company. Amen. Elijah wasn't a joker. He sat on that hill, and here comes these boys coming to take him. 50 men well armed. Said, we're coming to get you, Elijah. Said, well, let fire burn you. Amen. They were finished. Somebody run and tell the king. He said, send 50 more. Send 50 more of his elite boys. And bless God, you can imagine how those boys must have picked out their charms and rubbed their beads, you know. Say their prayers. Amen. They're going to counteract the power now. This man is having the God of fire. So therefore, we're going to invoke the God of water or some other God. I've seen that done, you know. That's why I'm telling you. Men come into my meeting charged with demon powers, come to counteract me. And one night, 9 of them knocked down flat on the ground. Amen. Come in there to counteract me. And this guy, especially the guy, we had to laugh. When the power of God hit him and he stumbled, he pitched through the door on his hand and feet and down the hill he went. On his hand and feet, he couldn't even get up. The Lord slapped him. He came in there, said he was coming to counteract me. Amen. I'm just giving you an idea, brethren, of things that you will soon be going through. Amen. That demon powers can come into this place here, and that you don't preach a message unless you are somewhere in the spirit. Amen. That these demon powers will come to your homes. And they will hold you and strangle you if you don't have the power of God. Yeah. That this is what is happening in Los Angeles and in San Francisco. I have gone there and seen men studying, invoking the devil. They have a devil church over there. I think they must have one here too. That they are actually dealing with the powers of the other world. And they are calling them forth to do things for them. I don't want to frighten you, but I want to strengthen you. You are the sons of God, and nothing that is invented or made or created can touch you.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. We go back to this. For the time and the divided of time means the last 3.5 years on God's program. Amen. At the end of this 3.5 years, the sons of God will get up and blast the enemy once and for all. Amen. But he said here, the point we were on is verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Tell anybody, God says it's the shoulder. The word shoulder brings one more thought to me, which I will give you. The priests used to get the shoulder. The priests used to get the shoulder. God said, you shall be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, without mother, father, without beginning or end, without any descent. Eternal priesthood. The priest gets the shoulder, and that was an emblem, that was a type of his being the shoulder in his everlasting position. Hallelujah. Amen. So the government will be on his shoulder. What government? Democratic government? No. Theocratic government. This is the reason why God is putting down all the denominations. This is the reason why you've got to flee out from among them. I mean, excuse me, brethren. Please excuse me, but there is no excuse for you. No excuse. And I will not even take back that word. I know people go around and say, we are destroying. But let me tell you, you will soon see what I'm talking about. The denominations in which you trust, you are going to see them join up with an ecumenical movement. And this is the beginning of the end. They are going back to Rome. And we are not talking about people, we are talking about denominations. You can't dissociate denominations from people. Denominations are demonic. One fellow said demoninations. Denominations are demonic. They are not of God. They never came from heaven. People can be saved. And do you know the reason why God is holding back his wrath upon the people? And why when people hurt the people of God and do things to us, that the fire of God don't blaze and put them out? You know why? Because at present, people are still in a position where some of them will be saved. Amen. They have not crossed the line yet. Amen. They haven't crossed the line where they have gone into that place where they have the mark of the beast, where they can't be saved again. Glory. If you're not tired, I'll tell you a little bit about this mark of the beast. Jesus said, there is one sin which you can sin that there is no repentance for it. And he said it is the unpardonable sin, the sin against the Holy Ghost. He said you could sin against Jesus. He said you could sin against the Father God. But if you sin against the Holy Ghost, there is no pardon for it. How peculiar is it? And the Holy Ghost is not more important than Jesus. Do you know why? Because the Holy Ghost is the servant that God has sent from heaven to take you back home. And if Rebecca said, I want Isaac, but I don't want to go with you, Eliezer, then Rebecca would never find Isaac. Amen. For Eliezer was sent to take back Rebecca to Isaac, and Eliezer is a type of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is sent to lead the church back into glory land and back to its Jesus. But Jesus said, when the Comforter is come, he shall speak of me. Therefore, the Holy Ghost is he who is sent to take the church back to Jesus and to teach the church everything about Jesus. And you'll never have the revelation of Christ unless you have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So if you reject the Holy Ghost, you're finished. God has no other way to reach you. You have created a gap between you and God. So this is the unpardonable sin. And this is the sin which this generation of people will commit. That is why in so many of the churches they are preaching against the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. If they had the Holy Ghost, he would lead them to Christ. They would find out that Christ is coming back again to his temple. Amen. But on account of this, if you notice how smart this old devil is, he hits at the one doctrine that could deliver you. He doesn't mind if you can have an experience and say you are saved. Because nobody for truth know who is saved until he receives the Holy Ghost. What an awful thing I'm saying now, brother. My Jesus. Nobody knows who is really saved until he receives the Holy Ghost. Because a reformation can come upon a man that is not a regeneration. And the potency of the reformation can look exactly like the regeneration. For men can be changed by different circumstances. We have had many cases of history where men have just suddenly changed to be just as bad a man, but more decent citizens, more law-abiding. Amen. But the great test of whether a man is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ or not is that he goes on and receives the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. The great test of a man receiving the Holy Ghost is that he will go on with God until he receives the fullness of Christ within him.
Yes.
Then will come the great test of the fullness of Christ within. Amen. When you will stand before the beast and the false prophet. Glory to God. That's the test now. You remember the man who went into the wedding without his garment? What an awful time you'll have if you stand up there and you thought you had the thing and you didn't have it.
Yeah.
It's like going into battle to test your armor. Amen. If the armor doesn't work, then you don't work either. Praise be to God. They've got to test that thing before they give it to you to wear. So bless God. The government is really going to be on his shoulder. And we are that shoulder.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
This is the end of message. M095. The government shall be upon his shoulders.